beautiful book called Laughter Therapy. And I'm afraid Barry picked on the wrong guy, me. He said I was doom and gloom just because I talked about traumatic stress. So there was one thing about traumatic stress that I left out, and that when we look at a population, this is from one of Ariel Schwartz's slides, of how people respond to traumatic stress, turns out it's a bell curve and most people do okay. There's a certain segment of the population to the left of the curve that don't do okay and that have post-traumatic stress. Well, we come to this side, the right side of the bell curve, and there is a certain segment of the population who has something called post-traumatic growth. They haven't only been resilient and made it through, they've seen it as an opportunity for their life improving in ways that they never expected. One of the things that Annette Goodhart says is, let's not wait to laugh in order to have resilience. And she may have said post-traumatic growth, this is my word. Now, Annette Goodhart did a lot of laughter. And she died a few years ago of metastatic breast cancer. So does it mean that just because we laugh and we heal that we live forever? It doesn't mean that. It means that health and well-being are about ability to adapt. A teacher that I recently encountered, Michael Reagan, said healing cannot happen in a hostile environment, therefore laughter. Annette Goodhart says that there are three myths about laughter. Number one, that we need an excuse to laugh. We don't need an excuse to laugh. I can just stand here and start laughing. And I'm faking it. And at the beginning, it is profoundly uncomfortable because we've been taught through centuries that it is not okay just to laugh. Religion says people who laugh might be crazy because they might be free. And so we feel uncomfortable, asked to laugh without a joke in hand. Myth number two is that we need to be happy in order to laugh. Well, it turns out that laughing makes us happy. So laugh for no reason, and laughing will make you happy. Myth number three is that we need to have a sense of humor. Where's Barry? Yeah, we need to have a sense of humor in order to laugh. Turns out, well, humor's really awesome. It's true. Humor is tens of thousands of years old. That's when this sense of humor came about. Turns out laughter is millions of years old. So I am here advocating simply for laughter for no reason at all. And this is what we're going to practice. So there are several types of laughter. There is a type of laughter that is naked, cathartic laughter, babies that laugh for no reason at all. And when we're around them, we laugh too. You know, if we're around other people who are laughing, it turns out that our brain starts to prepare the muscles in our face to start laughing as well. We have an evolutionary response to join others with laughter. So I'm going to start with a few exercises. I'd first of all like you to massage your thymus. In Ayurvedic medicine, this is called the marma point of the heart, but the heart is actually over here, somewhere here. When we rub this and when we're laughing, it turns out our thymus, which is our center, one of the centers of immunity in our body, actually expands. So we start there. Please turn to your partner or somebody who's sitting next to you. this person you'll be doing a few minutes, and do a handshake and just laugh as if you were introducing yourself with the handshake. Okay, well, that's enough. No. Not that much fun. And now, I want you to try an exercise with them where you do laughter tennis. So, you bat them a laughter and they bat you back laughter, okay? So, let's go. Turn to your partner. 1 minute of laughter tennis. So, partner one laughs. They bat the laughter to the second person. Partner two laughs. So on, so forth. And begin. This is truly, truly contagious. Is there anybody here who snorts when they laugh really loud? Do we have snort? Oh, thank you, my friend. We've got two people who are snorters. Now, snorters you always want to be around because they make you want to laugh even more. And anybody here who's got a particularly contagious laugh? You've been told you've got a contagious laugh. Can you laugh aloud? Who are we pointing to? I'll point to anybody. If you don't volunteer, I'm going to point to you. No! No! And so, there's something wonderful about cathartic laughter because, like a wave that washes over a stagnant tidal pool, there it is. We've been washed clean. Madan Kataria says this about cathartic laughter. He says, "My response to all negativity, violence, and terrorism is unconditioned laughter and love. Laughter, you see, overrides a negative mood, and I call this," this is me talking, it's my spotlight, "I call this holy laughter." And so, this is the first type of laughter I wanted to talk about before I got into doom and gloom laughter. What is fascinating is that Annette Goodhart talks about three kinds of ways in which we can interact with laughter with our emotions. And in trauma, what we often find is shame. I've got one of my dearest, dearest friends sitting here with her dear, darling husband, Cedar Barstow, and her husband, Ren, are sitting here, and their work is absolutely beautiful. Cedar wrote a book called Right Use of Power, in which she talks a great deal about shame and uses our biological responses to shame. I've got another darling friend here, Karen Dremel. So Karen and Cedar have instructed me in how to interact with shame, because what happens in the middle of shame is that we are frozen. And if I could get you to close your eyes for just a moment, and if you need to, put your hand on your heart so you know that you're staying in contact with yourself. And know that there are people all around you. This is not the isolation and the shame of trauma, but this is the we of wellness in here. So here we are. Recall, but a moment where you felt shame, do not go into it. Simply stand at the outskirts of it, the edge where you can still breathe, where you can still see things as they are, where you still feel resourced, but you're looking at shame and you're remembering how in the process of your shame it was hard for you to move your body. And Cedar says that the way out of this frozen response of shame, which I want to translate into laughter, how do we move very tenderly from this absolutely worst place of traumatic experience into laughter? It almost seems heretical. Because there is a dark side of laughter. There is a way in which we can try to dissociate or escape or avoid a situation with laughter, and that's not what I'm talking about. So we're still at the edge. Continue soft breaths right at the edge. And in remembering how our bodies couldn't move and we couldn't make eye contact, wiggle your fingers in honor of this body that couldn't move, and move your head just a little bit, just a little bit. And I want you to make a little bit of a sound. And I want you to open your eyes very gently, very gently, if you can, and turn to your partner, soft gaze, and just look at them, knowing they're going through the same thing, softly, gently. And if you can, reach out and just touch them, if they're okay with it. Experience the delight of moving away from the experience of shame, just through somatic tenderness and gentleness. Here we are. And from that relief, which Hippocrates calls the absence of pain as pleasure, we find delight. And in that delight, we can find a smile. And from that smile, we can see irony, as Barry was speaking about, the reframe. And past that irony, we can start to relate ridiculous things that were never meant to be related. We are in pain, so we can make a pain cake out of it and put a candle on our pain cake. Ha 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 ha. Tee hee. And if laughter or tears are coming right now, please hold yourself, because as Annette Goodhart says, laughter and tears are both cathartic, beautiful experiences. We can do a little bit more too. Turn to your partner, and I want you to practice a next step, because now we've moved away from shame, which is a rigid response, perhaps in our nervous system, moving towards integrity. We're moving towards the fight-flight response. From the fight-flight-freeze response of trauma to nervousness, anxiety, and fear. Well, turns out that when we have had a fender bender, it was unexpected, we are scared suddenly, we might sit in the car and start to giggle uncontrollably after a while. Has anybody gone through an experience like this? This is nervous laughter, so I'd like for you to just look at your partner and pretend that you're having a nervous laughter. Well, the thing about nervous laughter is that we make people around us nervous, but it still it still releases something, and it's still important, because perhaps it's a way of encountering the feeling, the emotion, directly recognizing it, attuning to it, and then still giving it a cathartic response through the body. And now I want you to imagine that, like in our house, where we haven't filed the 2012 taxes yet, the tax auditors might come after you, and that they're knocking on the door. I can imagine that we have some frightened and perhaps some angry thoughts about that as well. So what if we take a moment to have a mean thought, a mean, diabolical, maniacal, evil thought about the auditor? Oh, come on. Maybe something about their car, you know, they forgot to turn the engine off, and as they see the car rolling, and they can no longer knock on your door. And we can laugh a maniacal, angry laugh, and it's deep and it's throaty, and unlike the nervous laughter in which our hands are clammy and we've broken out in a little bit of a sweat but we feel cold, in angry laughter our faces are red and our bodies are warm, and we sound like this. Please practice with me. And we may find that, in fact, our anger is a little lifted. And we move from there to the laughter of boredom. Now, boredom, if unheld, might translate into apathy. But the laughter of boredom is like the laughter of the earth element in Ayurvedic medicine. It is peaceful, delightful, musical in quality. It is attractive and appealing. It is the sound of children who've suddenly been let out into the playground after school, or in the middle of the school for recess. It's the sound of delighted laughter. Laugh the sound of delighted laughter with me. Is the experience of sweetness. You see, we stand constantly with the ability, in an infinity loop, being able to hold suffering and sadness, and being able to hold resource, and we're like the brilliant star in the middle, in dynamic balance. And this is where we are powerful, authentic beings. Please sing with me for my final on Barry? Nervous system release. So the song, you know, all we are saying is give laugh a chance. Now, of course, laugh can sound like laugh, like the Southerners say it, because Mark and I lived in Tennessee for a while. So, all we are saying is give laugh a chance. All we are saying is give laugh a chance. All we are saying is give laugh a chance. Thank you. Do you have any questions?